Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Richard Lear, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
All righty. Well, for the next hour and a half, right up until, hello, my name is Craig. We have our reporters. We have Paul Dottino, Eddie Coleman, Sweeney Murdy, and Brian Costello doing Giants, Mets, Yankees, and Jets in that order. Emmanuel Barberi is at the controls, and Paul Dottino is here now, and he's brought to you by Jake's 58 Casino Hotel, where Long Island wins, by Bud Light for the fans on game day, by Nielsen Dodge. Visit NielsenDodge.com now and save money today the Nielsen way, and by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Well, Paul... You know, we are all reflecting on 20 years ago. I know back then I was doing Giants pre and post, and in that stadium, in that basement in Queens, two floors underground, talking about the Giants and their loss to the Denver Broncos. I don't remember a whole lot about that game, but were you in Denver then, and were you on the flight back at that point, or were you in New York reporting?
No, that particular time, I was actually during that era, I was doing newspaper work with the Bergen Record, and I was one of the two Giants beat writers that the paper had. And so I was back in New York waiting to go to Giants practice that day on their arrival after the Monday night game against the Broncos. And so obviously things got changed the morning that was supposed to happen. As I said to you about a month or so, or maybe several months ago, when the schedule first came out and we reflected on the whole September 11th thing, was that the next day heading down to Giants practice, you know, here we are a couple days after the tragedy, and to be able to see the smoke still rising from the ashes of the Trade Center, I still can't get it out of my mind, Richard. I never will. Every time I think about it, it just makes me sick to my stomach. It's something I think, you know, we all say we never forget, but when we remember, it's very painful.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, most of the players on the team, you know, they were alive 20 years ago, but most of them were toddlers, you know, maybe not even in kindergarten yet. So I wonder how they will feel tomorrow. I'm sure that the Giants and the NFL has a lot, you know, something planned. But I wonder how they will feel going into this game, if they will understand the gravity of the moment.
I don't know how you can translate that situation if you didn't live it. But I will say, you know, Jason Garrett was a backup quarterback to Kerry Collins on that 2001 Giants team. He is obviously the Giants offensive coordinator these days. And I'm sure that he will speak to the team. I would pretty much bet on it that Joe Judge will have him speak to the team. Howard Cross, who is part of the broadcast team as well, as you know, Howard was also around at that time too, and has a lot of vivid memories about it. So I think that there are enough of people around the Giants organization who could try to communicate some of the gravity of what it was to live here during that time. But I don't think there's really any way you can translate it into somebody who was so young or you know, a toddler, really, is what we're talking about, right? Guys who are 25, 26, 27 years old, they were really small, you know, in grammar school. I don't see how you could fully give them the impact of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah, you had to live it. I mean, you can see all the film and everything else, but it seems like, you know, almost like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, it really did at that time. Imagine what it would feel like today if you try to give it to somebody secondhand.
Yeah, well, I was sleeping in that morning. Normally I'm up early, but since, you know, I got home at 3 in the morning after doing the post-game show, I was at 9 o'clock, I was asleep, and Vicky, my wife's mother, called and said, "Did you see what happened?" And you know, turn on the TV, and she said, "What channel?" And she said, "Every channel."
Right.
So we tuned in, and, you know, there was smoke coming from the North Tower, and we thought, okay, well, a small plane, some pilot who got lost, whatever, ran into the building, and boy, that's terrible, but all right, it's a news story. And then, you know, as we're watching, there's this little speck heading toward the other tower. And we're going, what is that, a bird? It hits the other tower. And we're going, my God, this is not coincidence. This is not small planes. This is something big. And then, you know, as time went on, you realized what actually did happen. And just, it was inconceivable. I mean, who would ever have conceived that something like that could happen and did happen?
Richard, I think the one thing that kind of really rings back to me was going to the practice field, as I said, a couple of days later, and then talking to the Giants players as they were coming out of the stadium, the West Tunnel at the old Giants Stadium. You remember that practice field was out in the parking lot, the grass practice field.
Mm-hmm.
And as the guys were coming out to the practice field, they could not stop looking across the river to see the smoke that was still rising. And it just mesmerized everybody. And it was almost like, what are we doing here on this practice field, you know, when that is still going down across the river, you know, because it was still a current event. I mean, as you know, the smoke just stayed around for days. It wasn't like that went away in 24 hours. And it just continued to elongate the horror, if you will. And talking to guys and Coach Jim Fossil that day on the practice field, they were animate. The Giants were not going to play that weekend. There was just no way in the world they were going to play. They were too impacted by the whole thing.
You know, and probably 2 weeks before, Paul, and I don't know if you were there, I don't remember, but I think it was the radio station sponsored a kind of giant breakfast thing at Windows on the World. And that was the first time I'd ever been there. And we're all the way up, and I'm looking at the view, and I was, oh, this is amazing. And my book was coming out, FM, The Rise and Fall of Rock Radio, and Michael LaMonaco, who's the chef at Windows of the World, said, yeah, we'll do a book party here in a couple of weeks. Oh, that'd be great, you know, once the book is out. And the book was due out September 11th.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, God. So if we had arranged to do a book party that day, So, I mean, just all these weird quirks of fate. Let's talk a little bit about the game because we don't have a whole lot of time here. Big question, Saquon Barkley. I talked to Papa last weekend, and Bob thought since they are playing Thursday night that it might be wise to hold him out of the Denver game and wait to Thursday, because coming off such an injury, do you want to play him Sunday and Thursday? What are your thoughts on that, and what do you think Judge's thoughts are at this point?
Well, I've been consistent for the past month since we talked at the beginning of the preseason that if Barkley was ready to go and all arrows were pointing toward that happening, that he would be available and probably on a pitch count. I still feel the same way. I don't know this morning as they go through their walkthrough what goes on today. I mean, no media is there on Saturdays. But as of yesterday afternoon, all signs pointed to him being a go. I do believe he would be on a pitch count. I had suggested that then. I maintain that. I use past evidence as something that kind of guides me here. You'll recall back in 2011, both Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles had similar injuries. Charles only was an ACL. Peterson had the ACL and the MCL, which is what Barkley has had. And both of those guys had that injury in 2011. And then here it was, opening day of 2012. And both guys played opening day. They made miraculous recoveries. The only two guys to come back running backs in their prime coming back from ACL surgery and then went on to make Pro Bowls. As you know, Peterson actually had over 2,000 yards that season and was an MVP in 2012. But here's the thing that's guiding me, Richard. In each of the first two games of that season, neither Charles nor Peterson had more than 20 touches in either of those first two games. And it was only when you got to week three that the full workload was put on their shoulders. I have believed the same thing all along for Barkley, that you could see him get 12, 13, 15 touches perhaps in this first game and maybe even in the second game. And you would not see the full workload until they're able to ramp him up three games in. I have no reason to change my mind.
Now, Barkley, of course, is getting all the questions in the headlines, but a lot of injuries to the receiver core that haven't been talked about quite as much. What are the status of the Galladays of the world and guys like that?
Galladay has been doing individuals and also 11-on-11 and some teamwork over the course of the last couple of weeks. It looks like he's a go also. Look, the Giants are listing right now. Evan Engram is the only one who is out because of the calf. Now, yesterday we saw him doing zigzags and full sprints, stops and goes, twists and turns. I'd say he's pretty close. It wouldn't shock me if he plays Thursday against Washington. It would not shock me. In fact, I would probably say the odds are better than not that he plays against Washington. Certainly, by the time they get to game three, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Engram will be back for that one. As far as everybody else in the lineup, I think Adoree Jackson, who they're listing is questionable, the corner with the ankle, he's also done quite a bit of practice the last week or so, too. So I think, again, unless something happens during the walkthrough this morning where he tweaks it or has some kind of setback, I would expect to see him as well. And all the other players you're talking about, whether it's Caden Smith, Galladay, Lemieux on the offensive line, as far as I'm concerned, they're all good. They're all going to play. I mean, they were limited to practice this week, but again, that's being precautionary because as they ramp these guys up, they didn't want to overdo it. They wanted to make sure that they had enough bullets in their tank to play on Sunday against the Broncos. And that's how I see it. I think this team is very healthy right now.
Well, this is going to be a big test, obviously, for the offensive line. You've got a couple of really good pass rushers there, and Washington, you've talked about their defense and the guys that they can send after the quarterback. So this is going to be the key, and certainly getting off to a start with two tough defenses, this can be a test for the O-line.
Well, here's the deal, Richard. Denver's interior rush defense between the tackles is soft. It was last season. They were like 25th in the NFL in terms of that particular trait. And I don't think they've done a whole hell of a lot to improve it. So if you're the Giants, you absolutely want to run the ball 35 to 40 times in this game. Okay? Even if it's Devontae Booker getting a ton of those carries, that's fine. He is a between-the-tackles runner. So that would bode very well for Joe Judge and company. Think of it this way. They've got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the edges. Now, I know Von Miller's coming off of a year with injury where he didn't play last season, so we don't know at age 32 what he's got left. But in theory, they've got two terrific edge rushers. They've rebuilt their secondary, which is a whole lot better than what it was last year. So you would think throwing the ball 35 to 40 times is not a good idea. That plays into Denver's strength. So why not play into their weakness, into the soft belly of their defense? And at the same time, if you're running the ball 35 to 40 times, well, what are you doing? You're giving Daniel Jones more of a chance to operate the offense because he's not dropping back. He's not facing that pass rush. You're not putting pressure on the offensive line to pass protect. And you just pound it, pound it, pound it, run it, roll the clock, and win yourself a tug-of-war game like 20 to 13. That would be perfect for Joe Judge and company.
Yeah, and by running the ball that much, it opens up play action. So occasionally, sure. you know, play action and you got somebody open and you can make a big play. Paul, we're out of time. We've got so much jammed in here, and we've got some timeouts coming up, moments of silence and observance of what happened 20 years ago this very hour. But thank you, and we'll talk again next Saturday, and we'll have two games to chew on by then.
Always good to be with you, Richard. Take care.
Okay, Paul DeTino.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.